Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3,
welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment, and that's what we're going to do. Absolutely great. Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show, and we're here on the American Voice Radio Network. So glad you're joining us. And we are going to be talking about a really great herb for eye health. Okay, so we have an arsenal of herbs for our vision, but we're going to add another one. How's that? And always love to do that and layer things up and empower the body to regenerate quickly. So we're going to be talking about eye health a little bit, and also we're going to talk a little bit about our flu season, kind of reminding people to get a perspective on the flu season. So we got lots to do, and we do have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face, and I'm minding the time because it grows short. And we have a devotional. Today's devotional puts us in Proverbs 14 and James 4, where it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Also, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Absolutely, and the wages of sin is death. So we're a nation that's got to clean up our act, obviously. So way to do that is to get into the Holy Word, the living Word of God, and draw near to the Lord and ask him for your path of purpose, and he'll show it to you. And, you know, be bold out there. The righteous are as bold as lions. Keep praying. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, let's see. We got a couple things in the quacker today. Here it is. Apparently another report on the COVID-19 vaccine. AstraZeneca participant died. Uh-oh. Yeah, this is a person who volunteered to be part of the medical experimentation on the COVID vaccine that they were developing. Apparently a person died during the clinical trials. This is a report out of the Enoch Times. The death was confirmed by government officials in Brazil where the trial was taking place. But the company, you know, whose vaccine is being tested in the medical experiment, AstraZeneca, has really not come forward with any other details, and they're continuing with the remaining humans to finish the trial. So apparently this person died on October 15th, and it's not clear whether the person died. They won't say if the person was given a placebo or the vaccine. Well, when was the last time a medical examiner put on a death certificate, death by placebo? Seriously. Well, placebos are usually sugar pills, or in this case, if it's an injection, it's probably saline solution. Yeah. All right, moving along in the quack report. Coronavirus pandemic is going to cost us $16 trillion, according to an economist. Right? They evaluated the losses so far. Amounted loss exceeds what we got, what we lost in the Great Depression or recession. Since 2007-2009, this is a Harvard University report by economists Lawrence Summers and David Coulter. They published their paper in the Journal of the American Medical Association. They said that, you know, the U.S. has lost income from COVID-19, and the whole thing induced a recession. They said it compromised approximately half of the $16 trillion. While the economic effects of shorter, less healthy life made up the other amount, almost $7.6 trillion of the $16 trillion stemmed from lost income by the virus. Then they had the other remaining effects, premature deaths, of course, long-term health effects, mental health issues, and so forth. So, expensive little flu bug we had, or still have, apparently, according to mainstream media. So we're going to be hopefully talking about some things this hour that will help us, and know that we can take the power back. That's what we can do. That's absolutely what we're going to do. And that wraps the quack report. That's all, folks. Thank you, Frank. Okay, so we're going to be talking about adding one of these wonderful herbs to improve our eye health. We've talked about the cinnamomum plant. We've talked about Ocumed and things like that and other nutritional elements that help the eyes to do well. Well, we're going to talk about another one here, and it's just really a basic one. Everybody has it. You probably have it in your pantry right at this very moment. Oh, Frank says South Korea is reporting, 25 dead following flu vaccines. Ooh, sad. In Rutgers, yeah, reported in Rutgers. No doubt. It's not a good thing, you know. Not with a 10-foot pole to come in near me with that thing. All right, we're going to talk about eye health now, Frank. Our modern world really has really unprecedented problems with eye health. We do. And macular degeneration often leads the blindness area. There are over 11 million people in the United States suffering with this issue, and the statistics seem to be doubling every 30 years. So we typically are being told that eye disease happens later in life, beginning around the age 60. But there seems to be some serious problems that people are developing eye disease at much younger ages. So some of people are speculating, hey, it could be due to the advancements in technology and the increase in radiation, you know, EMF, non-ionized radiation. But science is describing two kinds of macular eye disease, the wet and the dry macular degeneration, but either one can lead to vision loss. So there are dozens of drugs on the market that physicians can prescribe, but the problem still persists. So for this reason, some researchers have turned to the ancient writings on herbs for eye problems. So we're going to check it out. So herbs for your eyes. Now, this is a 2012 report done by Sanford Burnham Medical Research Institute, and they reported that herbs have benefits for eye ailments. Okay. And one herb in particular that they found was excellent, an excellent resource for macular degeneration. So the herb is rosemary. Very basic herb, not hard to find, it's everywhere. Now specifically, they said the rosemary contains a cosmoic acid compound which protect the retina from degenerating. And it protects it from toxicity in the cells of the retina. So what science is discovering is that herbs that help with eye health also contain nutrition that seems to renew the eyes with antioxidants and anti-inflammatory action. So the research was published in the November 2012 Investigative Ophthalmology and Visual Science Journal. And the research stated that when eyes degenerate, they become more toxic in the cells. Now, the medicinal properties of herbs like rosemary help to prevent that. Isn't that great? Now, oxidized stress is often the result of a lot of EMF radiation as well, so we've got to keep that in mind. And the scientists found that rosemary, with its acid compounds, offered antioxidant enzymes. And it helped fuel the eye cells to heal itself. So this lowers your oxidized stress. Apparently it helps deliver more oxygen to enter the eye, and it reduces the free radical damage. In addition, the acids in rosemary provided protection from light damage, protected the photoreceptors of the eye, and these are the receptors that convert light signals to electrical signals to your brain. And I also, rosemary increased the visual perception. Isn't that great? I think that's lovely. Here is a quote out of the journal article from one of the scientists, S.A. Lipton, director at the Neuroscience and Stem Cell Research Center at Sanford Burnham Medical Research Institute. He says, "We're now developing improved derivatives of carmoxylic acid and related compounds found in rosemary to protect the retina and other brain areas from a number of degenerative conditions," end of quote. Wow, really? Well, we got rosemary, Doc. You know, we can just use rosemary. We don't need a toxic drug, isolated components that give us side effects. We have rosemary. Well, let's look at some of the studies on the antioxidant properties of rosemary. Researchers out of Rutgers University in New Jersey discovered rosemary's food preservation ability. Were able to secure, they even secured a patent in 1987 on the antioxidant compounds in rosemary, and they called it rosemaridoid phenol. So this preservative is used now in cosmetics, in perfumes, insect repellent, even the plastic food packaging. And in the ancient world, rosemary was used to preserve wine and even meat. So food spoils, especially meat, due to the fat in it, which oxidizes, it becomes rancid. So what they did is they used rosemary. It was very potent. It was potent enough to preserve the meat to keep it from oxidizing. And stop that process from happening so the meat didn't spoil as quickly. Now, scientists even compared now rosemary's preservation effect for foods to even chemical food preservatives like BHT and BHA. So you can actually mix rosemary into hamburger meat, tuna, pasta, potato salad, and apparently it stays fresher longer. And rosemary contains the antimicrobial compounds as well, which also inhibit a lot of microorganisms in foods and in the human body, which, you know, can cause you, you know, digestive problems, infections, you know, dysentery, food poisoning. And this is why, you know, the ancient world would rub crushed rosemary or use rosemary oil on even cuts, you know, to keep it from getting infected. And kind of like a modern day Neosporin, you know. Yeah. Well, let's look at this resourceful herb a little bit more closely. Rosemary herb has a very long history. It dates back to 500 BC. Now, the Greeks and the Romans obviously used rosemary in culinary dishes, but they also used it for medicine. When we start with rosemary's name, we learn it's got a Latin name, Rosmarinus, and it means a dew of the sea because, you know, rosemary grew around the Mediterranean area. And rosemary had this reputation with the ancients for improving or strengthening memory. So this would explain why, you know, Greek students wore garlands made with rosemary around their heads when they went to their exams. And rosemary also attracts bees and butterflies. Therefore, a lot of the ancient beekeepers usually had rosemary or their cousin, hyssop, growing nearby to attract their bees. Now, long before refrigeration came in, rosemary, because of its natural oils, you know, it was a meat preservative, as we mentioned. And our ancestors, you know, definitely would wrap their meat in crushed rosemary or use oils on it to preserve it. And it also gave, obviously, the meat a distinct and fragrant taste. So we hear a lot about ginkgo, you know, for memory as well, for improved memory. Not so much about rosemary, though. So most people use rosemary for, you know, cooking, but it is a great herb for improving memory because rosemary provides this rich source of vitamin B6 as well as iron and calcium. And the reason it helps with memory is it improves the circulation to your brain and it often is paired along with ginkgo for even better results. So a study done by physiologists at Northumbria University in Newcastle, UK, they reported rosemary improves memory by 75%. And rosemary has all those wonderful antioxidants, and it helps protect your brain cells from oxidized stress. So it can protect your eyes and protect your brain from that oxidized stress. Now, the German E-Commission also recommends we avoid large amounts of rosemary oil because it can damage your kidneys. Yeah, you got to be careful with the rosemary oil. Too much of it, you know, can be kind of toxic to certain organs, so you want to be, you know, listening and paying attention to your amounts and using what's recommended on the product. So what else did the ancients know? Well, the ancestors used rosemary for various ailments. They used it for respiratory ailments. It's you know, very nice. It's got a natural germicide in it, so they used it for that. They used it for gastrointestinal disorders. Those were kind of the primary uses. But, you know, the Chinese would use rosemary with ginger root for things like headaches and indigestion, insomnia, and malaria. Now, the British brought rosemary to the American colonies, and it was added to the American New Dispensary. And the French would hang bunches of dried rosemary in homes where there was, you know, if people were sick, you know, it was also in hospitals. They would hang it in hospitals. Now, later in World War II, guess what they did? They added juniper berries to the rosemary and burned them like in an incense container because it cleansed the air of germs. That's what they did in World War II at hospitals. Now, early naturopaths, they weren't usually real big fans or users of rosemary, but it was listed in the King's Dispensary in 1898, and they used it for things like digestion, menstruation, and for a perfume. Now, in Central America, the folk healers there use rosemary to repel insects and to promote healthy menstruation as well. So our modern herbalists have been using rosemary, believe it or not. Yes, they have. So herbalists today, they like to use rosemary for its ability to stimulate circulation. That's why they'll add it to your ginkgo to get that ginkgo property to the brain to improve memory. They also like to use it for indigestion, things like bad breath and depression. Now, rosemary is also used externally. You can use it to relax, and they put it in relaxing balms, you know, rub it on the skin topically, helps with muscle aches. And the ancients and the naturopaths and the herbalists all used rosemary to improve indigestion, digestive issues, and you're probably saying, well, how did that work? Well, rosemary relaxes smooth muscles, the lining of the digestive system, the digestive tract. So if you've got spastic colon or stomach aches, you know, they would use the rosemary to relax that. It has this antispasmodic action, and it's excellent for irritable bowel syndrome and the spastic colon, as I mentioned. Now, the Germany Commission, which is, you know, similar to our FDA over here, they approved the use of rosemary for all digestive problems, not just some, but all. And rosemary, they say, will also kill unwanted microbes in the digestive tract. So if you got a little food poison going on, I guess, you know, that couldn't hurt. Another anti-cancer herb is what rosemary is, believe it or not. Rosemary was tested to see if it had any benefits against cancer. And this is a test they did at Pennsylvania State University. And they tested some high levels of rosemary in lab animals to see if it had any antioxidant protection against cancer. So what they did is, they gave some rats, some chemicals that would create cancer. And some were given rosemary and some were not. And the ones that were not given the rosemary developed cancer, whereas the ones that did have rosemary didn't seem to get cancer. So it was an interesting test. But you need to be aware, rosemary oil, if you take it internally, can cause stomach upset. It can also be harsh on kidneys. Now, if you got weak kidneys, you definitely don't want to use it. And also, if you got like irritable bowel syndrome, you don't want to use the rosemary oil. The oil is going to be more potent, more dense and concentrated. So you might want to maybe start with a tea and see how that works. And if you can tolerate the tea, you can work up to like a tincture or something like that. But you definitely want to be careful. The oil is more concentrated, and if you got weak kidneys or you have inflammation of the digestive system, you may want to, you know, power that down and use a tea first and see. And you should follow product guidelines and directions like I mentioned, and you want to avoid extreme doses, because if you go beyond a certain amount of this rosemary, especially in oil, it can be toxic. So you want to be careful there. So use common sense and be safe about it. Now, the FDA has rosemary on their safe list, but they do ask pregnant women to avoid it because it can stimulate nerve endings in the uterine muscle. So we don't want to do that. So you want to remember rosemary. Obviously, it's an herb that has many, many benefits. In addition to improving vision and your memory, it has other benefits. And you're going to find certified organic whole food professional strength rosemary in a liquid form. Now, it's not an oil. It's an extract or tincture. And it will have ginkgo biloba in it. It's called Brain Concentrate. So you can find that. The folks at Apothecary Herbs make it. And they have that. Has a lot of benefits like the ones we just discussed. Give them a call if you want to order or get their product catalog. Their number's toll-free at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the web address, ThePowerHerbs.com. Take advantage of their Election Day sale so you can save 20% on an order of $50 or more now through the 3rd of November. You do want to use a coupon called ELECT20, so ELECT and the number 20, and you can use that in the shopping cart or you can use it over the phone or on your order form. If you're using it in a mail-in order form, you do want to get that postmarked by the 3rd so your coupon can be activated when they get it. So thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Their new local number, if you want to dial that, is 828-469-5972. That's 828-469-5972. ThePowerHerbs.com. Yes, if you're on the web, do sign up Also, if you want to get their free online newsletters, they are delivered by email. You can sign up for free, and there's no subscription charge, and they're full of information like we just talked about. So you can go to the Books and Newsletters tab at thepowerherbs.com, and you can sign up there for free. I know, it's just a lot to talk about here tonight. I got so much in my stack of stuff. But we're going to be jump started. We had a few minutes before we were going to take a little break, but we're going to jump start our flu season topic here because we got a lot to reveal in the flu season. I mean, besides your COVID, what was I looking at, Frank, the other day? I was looking at somebody had a statistic last year, regular influenza before COVID even came about. I think we had a little over 2,700 cases by now, but this year we have 60, and people go, huh? Well, that's because, you know, all the cases are being classified as COVID. That's why. But, it seems that, a lot of times we get these promotionals on, flu medications, you know, how to care for ourselves in the flu season, and you know, the scientific medical community, does benefit from the flu season, obviously. They're an industry and they're a corporation and they do make money on these things. And a lot of people speculate, is it just the general practitioners and the drugstore chains or the tissue manufacturers that are reaping in the products? Well, these entities do make money on the flu in general, but they really don't make in the bulk of the proceeds generated from flu viruses. So there is another key to also remember. Generating flu viruses to make money is what we're seeing. So no one really dares to think of anyone within healthcare would purposely make people sick in order to financially gain from it. But, you know, that's pretty much what we're seeing in medical science right now with mutated diseases that used to be only for animals and now for us too. So one element that we tend to overlook is that people expect to have a flu season that's a normal occurrence each year. You know, people expect it. So can you imagine media reports if you didn't have a flu season at all? Or maybe you just had a flu season all year long, right? Like we're having. Kind of would receive minimal coverage if it was a 12-month thing. Or even if it was a mild flu season, people wouldn't even cover that, really. So the other element is that, you know, healthcare assumes that, and it presumes that, you know, we're going to experience a pandemic influenza, and it's going to have very high mortality. We've been hearing this for years. It's been planned for years. They've been priming the pump for years, so here we are living it, you know. Let me read you this quote. This is from the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health. This is May 2008. They say, the heightened concern over the threat of a future influenza pandemic is largely an assumption, with the historical decline of influenza classified mortality since 1900, we challenge the belief regarding the severity of a pandemic influenza. So you're saying, what? Well, they've been tracking statistics on influenzas for a long time. And what they're noticing is that there was a decline. There was a natural decline. And so regardless of what some of the scientific facts were presented to the public, nations around the world are, you know, always in prep mode, you know, for some sort of outrageous flu pandemic. So there is actually an entity called the National Strategic Pandemic Influenza. It's organization. My question is, are they working to prevent pandemics or to create them? Okay, so it's the National Strategy for Pandemic Influenza. That's the name of them. And there is this gap between evidence and a pandemic that they're being promoted. You know, in other words, you know, I think like this one, the COVID is being promoted as being worse than it is, right? Oh, I can see I'm long in this break. I got to go. We're going to cover more of this on the other side, so we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back. Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. Frank, we're back here, and we're talking about the flu season. We got some interesting stuff here from Dr. Peter Doshi. He's an anthropologist at MIT. He tells us that influenza seasons aren't really limited to our cold winter months. He says they're really 12 months long, and he's based that on some data he ran from 1900 to current. And he says that the emergence of all these new influenza A strains, which are the ones that cause, he says, the most serious illnesses, those are the ones, he said, that spread more rapidly worldwide. So he says these strains are also now included in your flu shots. And it's his opinion that if there were ever a flu pandemic, that it would be from an A strain. Or, well, maybe somebody, he missed the internal memo that it was a, you know, lab-derived, concocted, edited, you know, mutated creation. So Dr. Doshi also expressed a lot of his frustration with regard to the lack of cooperation that he can't get from the CDC in providing a lot of virus circulation data. So the National Respiratory of Entric Virus Surveillance System actually is supposed to collect and tabulate this data, but the CDC decided, you know, who gets to see it and who don't. Now, here's something that's interesting. What, according to Dr. Doshi, he was saying influenza infections decreased and was on a significant decline, evidenced by the seasonal flu data from 1900 to 2004. So aside from the 1918 influenza, he said, which, you know, some say was created by a vaccination for the military, but Doshi reports that from 1900 to 1931, with each flu season of influenza strain, it became less lethal than the prior year. So that's interesting. Influenza vaccines, you know, we're told were in development in 1933. But they weren't in use. So how were these influenza strains then on the decline, but we needed flu shots? However, they were not, the flu shots weren't used widespread until 1945. So it would appear that after the vaccines were used, the flu strains became varied, mutated, and then more deadly. So we see similar results with antibiotics, which, you know, has produced mutated strains of bacteria and the more lethal drug-resistant kind. So here is the same kind of, well, it's hard to obtain. This is a chart. There's a chart that we picked up, U.S. influenza trend. It was in the International Classification of Disease. It listed it in 1909. This was a chart, and it was, this was all prior to experimental influenza vaccines that started in 1918. You know, there go the Spanish flu there. So it was interesting that the flu was just like petering out, like it wasn't even going to be a problem ever again. So the big picture here is Dr. Doshi believes that the research on the flu viruses were on a decline. They were weakening in strength for nearly 20 years. And so what happened in 1918 then? What happened? Well, we got this massive spike of a flu bug that was virulent, and it was blamed on the war and immigrants and overseas, Spanish flu. So during this time, medical science had really not publicly announced knowledge about differences in viruses yet and bacterial infections. So according to the researcher Barbara Peterson in her book, Vaccination, the Silent Killer, she says the 1918 flu, often called the Spanish flu, was a man-made epidemic created with a massive nationwide vaccine campaign started with the military. So the servicemen got inoculated and were told the treatment would prevent germs, which at the time were blamed for every illness. And in 1918, the scientific community did not have sophisticated enough equipment to detect filth and infectious agents in vaccine serums that they thought were sterilized. So more soldiers died from the vaccine than from World War I. So as the book points out, more deaths were among the vaccinated than the unvaccinated. And this was kind of a huge experiment, and it went horribly wrong. But the vaccine promoters used this opportunity to create fear and a business profile for themselves. They did not let the catastrophe go to waste. Here is the point that we all need to consider. World War I was a short war, and vaccine manufacturers had overstock on their bacterial vaccine treatment. Therefore, they their instinct was that the treatment that shouldn't be just given to servicemen, they wanted to give it to the general public too. But no one at this time associated a vaccine treatment with injury or mass deaths. So the vaccine was advertised to protect them from varied diseases that the military men would be bringing home from overseas after the war. So again, fear tactic being used. So at this time in history, who did not believe their doctor and who did not believe the government? And they pretty much trusted them. So a majority of the U.S. population got the vaccine, and within 24 hours, people were very seriously ill. And this vaccine killed, millions of people worldwide. So the Greeks now, few people in that country accepted the vaccine, and so they escaped a lot of casualties over there. So the Greeks were smart. Now, since healthcare professionals had never seen anything like this, the vaccine was really not blamed for the disease brought back from overseas. That was the culprit. You know, they went with that story. So, you know, your doctors and nurses were ignorant of what they were looking at. They didn't realize it was a serum reaction and death by vaccine. So it was easy to cover up. However, the War Department physicians, some of them knew there was this association between the vaccine and the civilian death, similar to the servicemen who died. So they saw the correlation there. And at some point, there was this colluded effort among the physicians in the military deciding to call it a mysterious disease called the Spanish flu, blame the death on that, and all the symptoms on that. So there was a cover-up. That's what it was. All right, so here are some of the symptoms that they experienced. They had a collapse, high fever, chills, muscle pain. They described it as agony. Also, cramps, diarrhea, pneumonia-like lung congestion, throat congestion, vomiting, headache, hepatitis, diphtheria, sores similar to smallpox, paralysis, and death. Sounds like the serum was a combination of hepatitis, diphtheria, and smallpox. That's what it sounds like to me. An experimental cocktail. Yep. So that was the, vaccine infrastructure then. And we hear authorities, you know, they're preparing for the worst pandemic in history all the time. We hear it all the time now. Here in the future, here we are. We've got a pandemic that we're being told is the worst ever. But seriously, I don't know anybody that's gotten sick or died from COVID. Few people do. I mean, some people probably didn't even know they had it, and they got over it just like they would a flu bug. And that's what Dr. Johann Gazeek says. It's just a flu bug. The people that are going to have trouble with it are the seriously ill ones. They already had a condition to begin with, and they're low in minerals like zinc, an immune system mineral. Now, during the 18 pandemic, the only ones that were functioning were people that weren't sick, and those were the ones who didn't get vaccinated. They refused the vaccine. So the unvaccinated cared for the vaccinated ones who got sick, got really sick. Another indicator was that that was really a man-made pandemic. That was really a man-made pandemic. Think about it. The unvaccinated didn't get sick, and they cared for the sick people. Here's what happened with the United States infrastructure in 1918. Businesses closed. Schools closed. Post offices closed, banks closed, streets were ghost towns, not enough physicians to care for the sick, and not enough nurses to care for the sick. So when you take a look at this, many diseases, if you take them and you mix them together, you get other poisonous compounds, and you run the risk of creating a poison within the body, sepsis, blood poisoning, and all kinds of nasty things. So when doctors try to save patients from vaccine toxicity with other types of drugs, it adds to more poisons in the system, and it tends to overwhelm the body. So this devastating event can and most likely is going to happen again and again due to deliberate man-made pandemics that overwhelm modern healthcare and our society. Here's a quote from the U.S. National Institute of Health, 2005. We could not correlate the increased use of vaccination covered after 1980 with declining influenza mortality rates in any age group. Our research included international studies of influenza vaccine effectiveness and efficiency. So did you catch that? They could not quantify influenza declining and mortality declining from influenza with the use of influenza vaccines. They didn't see the benefit of influenza vaccines all the way up to 1980. And we got the opposite effect, really. We got more virulent strains of viruses in the A strain category. So when they create in the laboratory novel viruses in order to make vaccines. So this is what you have. COVID-19 is a novel virus. Nobody ever heard of it before. You know, it's SARS, it's COVID, it's this and it's that. And we just reported Tuesday that they're going to be coming out with a swine flu COVID pandemic soon. So Dr. Dowsey has warned the public about a study of 2013. It was in the British Medical Journal, showed evidence used to promote the safety and effectiveness of influenza vaccines that are severely overestimated. He said that there has been no research on the risks of aggressive vaccination against these diseases, including flu. There, and this is what we've heard from other experts. There's really no evidence that support with our claims of flu serums and flu vaccines. He says fear is a powerful motivator to convince people who would not consider getting a flu vaccine to get one otherwise. And that's what you see today with the COVID. It's fear, 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 fear. So the industry that profits by far on influenza are the makers of the flu vaccines. Okay. That would be GlaxoSmithKline. That's a UK company. Merck USA. AstraZeneca, another UK company. Zantoff, which is a France company. It's the largest supplier of flu vaccines with $884 million in euros, or $1.4 billion US dollars. So, here's a controversial statement by a neurosurgeon by the name of Dr. Russell Blaylock. He said this in 2014. Knowing authorities cannot easily pass euthanasia laws or just have people rounded up and exterminated, the proponents of socialized medicine aim at using medical care system to speed people along to their deaths. The economy is also manipulated, and when it worsens, people are more susceptible to euthanasia, especially of the elderly, the terminally ill, the mentally ill, the chronically ill, or those with dementia. Especially over in Europe, that's what they're doing. Vaccines such as your H1N1 are very dangerous, and the 2013 worldwide sales of influenza vaccine was $3.1 billion. And add to the other pharmaceutical flu products for another $1 trillion in profits from influenza. Yeah, follow the money. Money answers all things. Dr. Alvin Moss, he's a nephrologist, at West Virginia University. He says, in 1986, the U.S. Congress established the National Vaccine Childhood Injury Act because vaccine manufacturers had come to harm them, saying that they had so many lawsuits against them that they could not go on making serums for vaccines. They would go out of business because of all these vaccine-related injuries and deaths. They were going to go out of business. It's because they were hurting people. So Congress passed the National Childhood Vaccines Injury Act and created a vaccine injury compensation program, and the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, called VARS, which was paid out of billions by U.S. taxpayers. So he says, my research shows that the flu vaccine results in the most compensation payouts in this court. So if you, and I've heard this from other virologists, that the most deadly serums or vaccines are the viral ones. That would be your flu stuff. I'm just reporting on what the educated experts are saying. So based on some of the science and their own words, the influenza marketplace is too good for the industry to give up. It makes drug companies and healthcare facilities a lot of money. So the swine flu pandemic, here's the swine flu again, of 1976 was created and a harmful vaccine was turned onto the public. So people sued the vaccine manufacturers, and after Congress passed the laws making it very difficult to sue the vaccine for companies for injury and death, the vaccine industry learned a lot from the 1918 flu pandemic, and they refined it. They refined that technique. They fine-tuned their vaccine machine. Okay, so I was talking to Dr. Anthony Morris, Frank, and this is back in the 90s, 1995, and I asked him about booster shots. Now, he was a virologist. He used to work for the FDA's vaccine program, and he was the one on Phil Donahue in 1976 that blew the lid off of the swine flu pandemic being fake. Don't go get the vaccine. It'll give you Guillain-Barré syndrome. Of course, he was promptly fired, but he did the right thing. Anyway, I was talking to him. Brilliant guy. I said, what's with the booster shots? He was trying to tell me, you know, the vaccines aren't healthy for you. They're promoted as, you know, protecting you and giving you antibodies, but they really don't give you antibody protection. So I said, well, why do they give you booster shots? And he said, because if they gave you all the serum in one shot, it would kill you, just like in 1918. So what they do is they give you the poison in little doses, and it seeds the body with disease. And you'll crop up with a problem down the road, maybe days, weeks, months, years. But you'll definitely get an internal medicine disorder from the vaccine, which the medical industry will make money on. So the vaccine of the Spanish flu occurred after the vaccine was given, causing catastrophic deaths. You would know that a vaccine wasn't good for you, especially if you died from one. So today the vaccines cause more subtle health problems, and some can develop over long periods of time, maybe even 40 years. I mean, you could get cancer in 40 years, some of this stuff. So many physicians in the field of virology have admitted they know very little about the immune system and even less about the vaccines and the pathogens in them because, you know, they do the research, but what the drug company does with that, they don't know. One virologist said he didn't know thermosol was mercury, and he was in his practice over 30 years. I'm like, wow. Most of these doctors, pediatricians and alike, if they want any real truth and knowledge about vaccines, they have to do it on their own. They don't get it from medical school. Only thing they get out of medical school is the schedule on when to give the vaccines. So, you know, who's going to be the most vulnerable? It's going to be our youngest, our children, our infants. It's not natural to jab infants and toddlers and children with deadly diseases for a majority of their school years. It's just not. Vaccines destroy natural immunity. They make generations of children weak towards infectious diseases. And vaccines destroy natural immunity and make science goes on and says that, they don't do that. The vaccines, if it did, everybody would have the same condition. Well, no, because not everybody's the same, and it will corrupt you in your genetic weakest code, DNA-wise. So somebody may come down with Tourette's syndrome. Somebody may come down with autism. Somebody may develop MS years later or cancer years later or have bone issues or some sort of neurological problem, cross-eyedness, because a lot of the heavy metals go to the brain. Dyslexia is one of them, too. And all these kids have just been ruined. Ruined. Lives have been ruined with this stuff. So really, you need to protect you. You need to protect your immune system. And jabbing yourself with an artificial infection isn't it. Science is lying to us. And the reason I know science is lying to us is because I've heard from countless medical doctors that have uncovered those lies, including Dr. Morris. He said he had access to 10 years of the raw data on the clinical trials on vaccines, and what we're told about vaccines is equivalent to propaganda. And if you'll recall, the 2019 vaccine summit that they had, that all the doctors, we played it here on the show, all the doctors that were there and the scientists, they were complaining that they wanted science to come up with the evidence to prove what they've been saying about vaccines for all these years. That means they didn't have any evidence. They didn't have fact. They had propaganda. They had lies. Sort of like the lies you're getting now about stuff with regard to COVID. It's hard to know what to trust, isn't it, these days? Well, I say seek the Lord's face. He'll help you discern and have wisdom. And that's what we really need in these times. We need wisdom and discernment so we can judge. And we're supposed to judge everything. That nonsense about don't judge yet you be judged. If you read the rest of that passage, it says when you judge, make sure you judge the same way you would judge people, the same way you would judge yourself. Don't be a hypocrite is the rest of the passage. You're supposed to, if we weren't supposed to judge, why would we need wisdom? We're supposed to judge everything. If you throw judgment out the window, you got a society that's run amok. Everybody's accepting everything, regardless of what it is. And that's where we go wrong. So, we're a nation that needs to get back on track, and we got to seek the Lord's face. We got to ask Him back into our lives, back into our pulpits, our schools, our homes, our businesses, our courts, our government. Because you can't separate good, godly living from all of that. There's just no way. It's in everything. All the laws in our courts were based on the Bible, Ten Commandments. Okay, so like, even like if you had bankruptcy and then after 7 years, the bankruptcy fell off your credit report. That's out of the Bible. That every seven years, the year of Jubilee and all your debts were forgiven. You know? So we have a society, a country, a nation, in God we trust, based on God's laws, ways, statutes. And we've come away from that, and this is where we're going into big trouble. So, mind the time, it grows short. Seek the Lord's face. He'll help you. He'll protect you. Psalms 91 is a really good prayer, protection from plagues. You want protection from plague? Pray that. Then He's got His herbs. Herbs are here for the service of man and healing of the nations, and God can't lie. You know, faith is like a muscle. You have to exercise it. And you got to wait on the Lord, too. Don't get impatient. He's there every time, every day. He never is wrong about anything. He's 100% right all the time. So if you're interested in some powerful herbs to help you regenerate and heal the body to do that, immune boosting, organ cleansing, metabolic strengthening, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll surprise you with whole food, professional strength formulas you don't get in stores. So give them a call toll-free, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the web address, thepowerherbs.com. And take advantage of the 20% off now through Election Day on orders of $50 or more. Details are on the homepage, but you can call and ask. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Take the power back. You'll feel better. Well, the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well.